Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Ball Not Court podcast host Cortez Paul, along with my co-host Kevin Carter. I want to thank you folks for tuning in today and listening to the show. Basically, we cover basketball, football, NCAA, or anything that's related to current events with a humorous twist to it, at least. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast at X or Twitter. We're also on Instagram at the same name, BIOC Podcast. And you go to our YouTube channel. That's also BIOC Podcast. Our Facebook page is Balls Not Court Podcast. So if you could please just give us a like, shout, comment on any of those, and definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel. And we thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Balls Not Court Podcast. Thank you very much. Welcome to the Ball Not Court podcast. Cortez Paul is here, and a familiar voice, Mr. Kevin Carter.
Look here. Right. Look here. Cortez had his Scottie Pippen moment to where he was on the bench. He had to raise up the shoe and call on Jordan to come back out of retirement. So, of course, so here I am coming back out of retirement. Don't get used to it, though. Yeah, don't get used to it.
So good to have you on the show. I know you. We both talked about how we wanted to talk about the season, basketball, and how we always just pretty much do this every year. I mean, we always try to preview the season. So it just only felt right to have
The funny part is I'm only going a couple of weeks and my damn name gets taken off of everything. I'm like... I'm like, they just yapped my name off of it like I didn't even exist anymore. I was like, I seen exactly how it is.
Oh, man. Nah, man, you know how it is. But it's good to have him on here. You know, he's always going to be a part of the show.
And unlike all the other people on the show, my football team's 5-2.
Which we will cover very well coming up. I'm doing a double dip. I'm doing an episode now and then doing an episode later. And I'm going to pay homage to your Jaguars. So it's don't worry. It's coming, bro. It's coming.
5-2.
All right, man. Well, hey, man, let's get into it right quick. I know we plan this every year. So, like I said, once again, it just makes sense to have Mr. Kevin Carter on this show talking basketball. This is how we basically started this show, was talking basketball and he transitioned to football and then college sports and everything like that and with a come twist. So, nonetheless, it just feels right. But now, today is a glorious day, at least for me, because the season opener of the NBA is dropping tonight. And yes, I'll be doing a podcast doing it, but you know what? My team's not playing, but I still have it on. And Kevin, so Tuesday night, man, it starts off with the Nuggets and the Lakers. Thoughts of the off-season banner between these two teams, because both of these teams run their mouth at each other. And tell me what you think about between, you know, because there's a lot of chatter between these two particular teams.
It's like what it reminds me of is like, remember Coming to America when they went into the barbershop and the barbershop people just keep arguing back and forth. Mm-hmm. That's what it reminds me of. It reminds me just a bunch of old people arguing back and forth amongst yourself when the only one that's right is the one that's got the ring right now. So, yeah, it's amusing, but not, you know what I mean? It's funny because it gave you something to talk about in the off season, but then you just kind of come down to like bickering old people. Look, Lakers really can't say nothing about it. They lost. Like, you got owned, like owned this year. So really, you just sit back, and if you want to do some talking, you can start tonight by trying to do some talking and trying to work your back way into the title picture. But to me, it was just a bunch of old people jabbering at each other, and then when you get them together, they all start hugging and shit like that. It's just normal shit.
You think you wouldn't have much to say after getting swept in the NBA Western Conference Finals or Finals?
I know I would.
Western Finals. I mean,
I don't got much to say after winning one game against them. So
I mean, listen, it's one of those that it's always entertainment and it's funny. And LeBron, he's all about engagement. We know how LeBron, he's got to be in some sort of spotlight. That's just who he has been for his whole NBA career. As talented as he is, he's got to have some kind of spotlight on him. And for the most part, the Nuggets came out and really ran the show, and they have the right to talk. And for the most part, I know Lakers are getting offended in a certain way, but Lakers have made some good moves to make themselves very competitive to be in that upper echelon in the West. Man, I can't speak.
I got upper echelon.
Thank you. I'm not drinking tea, I swear. I'm just drinking water.
That's just water. That's why you had to bring me out of retirement just for these kind of
just to help me out. This is why we call Kev, man, because he helps us out. But no, so like I said, it's one of those that you look back and you move forward, and there should be, you know, Lakers want to make a statement. It better be tonight. And Kevin, to transition to my second part of the question, because you have experienced this and you have known through this for a few times. Watching your team when they won the ring ceremony, there's a lot of emotions going on. Can that usually serve as a distraction for the Nuggets?
Yeah, it makes you come out. It makes you come out a little flat. You get to see the banner, but really, it's all about how your offseason got. I've seen a team get the ring and then get beat by 30 points right after that, and so it's not really a distraction. It's just you get so amped up for the ring ceremony and it's opening night. And especially when you're the home team, you get all these emotions and amped up, you're ready to go play. And then if you come out flat, it just seems to carry all throughout the game. So the big thing is trying to hone it all in and not coming out flat. And they got one guy on their team that really doesn't show emotions at all. So he'll probably not come out flat at all.
Kim, before we go into the other segment, did you see the video where him trying to, I guess, uplift the basketball season when, you know, he's just been talking about horses the whole offseason and how basketball is his life? Did you see that PR move that the Nuggets did?
Oh, yeah. 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 He's a big horse racing guy. Like, he owns, like, somebody asked him how many horses he owns. He's like 5, 6, 8, I think 10. He just kept counting. But like, he comes across as like just a foreign, a guy that don't care. Like he just, basketball is his job. He knows he needs to go and do his job, but he has other interests besides just basketball.
Oh, so you didn't see the video?
I didn't see that part.
I got to send it to you, but there's a video of him talking about how basketball is his life, and you can just tell it was just, like, public related. Like, it was just Nuggets PR team was just at full work here because everybody's questioning, like, well, is Nicola Hart isn't into basketball? I mean, listen, we all, at the end of the day, some of these guys do have other lives. I know some guys breathe, eat, and live basketball. It's okay to have something else. It's totally fine, but it's just funny how the PR team of the Nuggets just came out. It was like, no, basketball is his life. So I was like, it's totally okay. Like, it's that man okay. won you a title.
Look, man, it's okay if basketball ain't these guys' lives. It's not that big of a deal. Back in the day, basketball wasn't these guys' lives. They did stuff outside of basketball. It's okay to live a life outside of whatever sport you're playing. Trust me, it's okay. Like, you're going to be just fine. We had that same thing happen here when Trevor did the SI article and where he said, you know, football is not my everything. And then people questioned all of his heart. And I'm like, dude, the man said it's not his everything. He didn't say that that's not his job and he's going to go out and do the damnedest he can to make himself a champion. He just said it's not everything. And the same thing goes with Jokic. Man, you don't got it. You stop PRing it. Let the man be him. That's what makes him likable. Yeah. Is that he is the way he is. That's what makes him the reason why people like him. Just let him be him, man. Just don't go out of your don't go out of your way to do stuff. Just let the man be him. Like, I laughed my butt off when he said, I just want to go home and mess with my horses and stuff like that. I'm like, let that man go.
Yeah, and that's why I call the Nuggets. I'm like, let the man live. It just make y'all look bad, not him. It make y'all, the Nuggets franchise, look bad for doing that. He's okay. Yeah, it's okay. The man can enjoy horseback riding and where he's from. There's nothing wrong with that. So the Nuggets pulling
the majority,
that stunt, which is total hilarious.
The 85% of the main guys in the NBA have something to do outside of just playing basketball. Like, you don't see their teams going out and being like, yeah, it's all about basketball for them, because it's not, man. You just let these guys live their lives. Look at Steph Curry. What did he do this offseason? He went and won a golf tournament. Like, he plays golf. He plays golf almost as good as he does basketball. Like, he's a scratch golfer. Like, these guys have other interests just besides basketball. You ain't got to explain it to us. We're fine if they got outside interests. Like, I don't care.
Absolutely. All right, so the second game, the Suns and the Warriors. Speaking of Steph Curry, good transition there, Kev. Second game.
You're welcome. What? again, that's why I come out of retirement.
See, he knew. He just knows. What's some of your storyline?
I come right off the bench and drop 40. It's okay.
Oh, man. Hey, you still are not missing the beat here, sir. I give you that. All right. Some of your storylines regarding this game. What's some of your storylines that you kind of watching for the Suns and the Warriors, both of these teams?
The Suns is how do they – well, you're not going to see it after one game because we're not going to know it right off the bat. But how do they integrate Bill into the offense? Because you've got three guys who've got to have the ball in their hands. Like, that's their MO. So that for the Suns, it's that. And for Golden State, it's what does Chris Paul bring to the team? Especially, I hope they're bringing him off the bench, because that would be the only way it makes any sense. But seeing how Chris Paul comes off the bench, does his things to where it makes to see how good it makes everybody around. When Curry can just run around and not have to have the ball in his hand all the time, and Klay can go and do whatever he wants to do. And it's a big storyline that Klay hasn't signed hasn't even been offered or signed an extension for the Warriors. So it's cool to see where that's going to play out as well.
I was about to mention that, and he had post something on his Instagram that it's time to prove it or something like that. And
well, it is. So it's you know how I feel about Klay. You know I like Klay, and I've been saying it for years. The dude needs to get somewhere where, because I don't think he's appreciated there as much as he should be because of Steph. But it's time for him to be able to go and see if he can go somewhere, and because he's not getting any younger. So it'd be that time to right now, if Golden State's not going to want to show him some love, it's that time for him to go somewhere to where he can be that main star on the team and see if he can actually do that.
Yeah, you know, get one last little contract and a big contract somewhere. Golden State don't want to pay it, but
ain't gonna be no little contract. I can guarantee you that. Ain't nothing in the NBA little.
Very true. Now the GM now there is Mike Dunleavy, so it's not Myers anymore, who was the last GM, and he was on, I believe, some NBA Today show where he was talking about, my thought process to keep them together, like he would have tried to sign, but this is a different management, so I don't know how Mike Dunleavy is going to handle this. He's just going to let the market play his value, it seems like.
They look at him a little older now, I think, and I know they got some young guys that are going to be able to come in. So, it's going to be interesting because if they don't get him, there's a lot of teams out there that's going to look for a veteran shooter that have money that'll definitely be looking at Clay.
Yeah, and I think what's probably what a holdup is, Kevin, is that they're probably seeing what Jonathan Kuminga does this year.
They want to see what their young guys can do before they make any long-term commitment into the older guy. And you're going to start seeing that around the league as well, because a lot of these teams are getting a little older in the tooth, and they're going to want to start seeing what they can get out of their young players and see if they can start building around them.
Yeah, Moody is another one they're going to be watching as well. So that's a storyline that kind of been trending to watch. Also, may want to watch how Bradley Beal is now. He's in a different situation. I know he played for the Wizards for the last few years, and they weren't really kind of like a fringe low playoff team. So now that he's on a team that's considered to be in championship contention, how will he play? How his motivation be? Let's see how it helps going to play a part. You know, him and Durant's kind of been.
The key for him is, can he adjust to being Chris Bosh? That's going to be what he needs to do. Is he needs to learn how he can be in that Chris Bosh role that Chris Bosh was in Miami. Not saying that he has to do everything Chris Bosh did in Miami, because he's not going to, but Bosh had his role. So now it's finding out what Brad's role is going to be on that team. And I know he really wanted to go to Miami. But
I saw that. Yeah, there was an article that dropped there. He really wanted to go. So I just – management really, and –
The funny part is, the more that comes out about all the Miami stuff, the more I think Miami never wanted to get rid of Tyler Hero in the first place. Like, the more and more everything comes out, I think everybody always associates Tyler Hero's name with any trade rumor that has to go with Miami, just because he's their third best player. So it was like, well, they're not going to get rid of Bam and Jimmy, so they're going to get rid of Tyler. And they just kept adding his name to everything. And I don't think Miami ever added his name to anything. That's just my opinion, because even Pat Riley said it. We don't, and I tend to believe him, that Tyler wasn't involved in none of the trade talk. I think they wanted to keep him no matter who they brought in. Because again, teams are getting longer in the tooth, and you want to see what you got from your young guys. But Brad has to find his niche, find his role, and stay in it.
Absolutely.
But the key for Phoenix is staying healthy. That's the key. All these teams that have these older guys that have these injury history, that's their biggest thing, is they have to keep these guys healthy. You're talking about the Clippers. You're talking about Phoenix, LA, or both LA teams, Phoenix, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, all these teams, they have to make sure that their guys stay healthy and they're there for the key times in the season.
Speaking of injuries, I believe Draymond Green is still injured.
I'm shocked.
I'm trying to look it up, see what exactly he had.
He's an ankle.
But it was something that he was injured. But I don't think he's starting off the season this year. So
it's probably because he can't breathe through his nose. He's always mouth breathing. I'm sorry.
That's what it is. Ankle sprain. Yeah. I just looked it up. So.
I'm sorry. Ankle I'm just not a big. Green. I'm just not a big fan of his. I'm just sorry. He might be the heart and soul of that team, but he's also a douchebag.
Listen, I completely understand how many people feel that way. Draymond Green is definitely a pain in the backside. So there's nothing wrong with that sentiment right there. So I'm not arguing with you. So, all right, let's transition. I know we got the two home games. And then I want to talk about the in-season tournament format. I want to talk about your group that you got, Kev.
Oh, Jesus. This is the stupidest damn thing that I have ever heard in my life. Like, you are wanting to keep these guys from getting injured. You put in this thing to where they have to play these games. So what do? Let's throw an in-season tournament in with all these games. Yeah, that sounds like a genius move, you freaking morons. The NBA is trying everything to capitalize on stuff when all they need to do is have the same shorten the season up and longer the playoffs. And there you go. You don't have to worry about all these in-season. Here's the fun part. What does the in-season tournament winner even get?
Think each player get like $500,000. I think the winning team get like $1 million per person. From what I saw, the rewards. And then there's some kind of trophy that they get as well. So
the most important thing that you could have put for the winner of that tournament, you didn't put in it. And that is, you are guaranteed one of the top three spots in the playoffs.
That would be an interesting twist.
No, that would be the only reason people would give their ass off to play in that tournament. You think $1 million makes a difference to any of these guys? The lower end guys, yes.
Yeah, the lower end guys, yeah.
Do you think the top end money guys give a crap about $1 million? Or do they give a crap?
No.
Or do they give a crap about a top three seed in the playoffs?
I tell you what, I was very critical of the play in tournament. It's been kind of successful. So I'm just kind of wait and see approach.
The play-in tournament was great. I love that idea. The play-in tournament, a mid-season basketball tournament that gives you a playoff spot. A mid-season basketball tournament that gives you absolutely nothing except more basketball games is stupid. It's downright stupid. All it does is give you more basketball games and give somebody a mid-season trophy. So great. Somebody's going to raise a banner that says fucking mid-season tournament champions. No one cares about that banner. The only banner anybody cares about is the one at the end of the year, not in the midseason tournament. Like I said, if you want to make shit interesting, you got to put shit on the line that somebody actually cares about.
For sure. Let's dissect your group. I know they got the knockout games between the 4th and the 9th of December. And then so they got the play-in games that's going to be in November.
Because so I don't even know who's playing what, when, where, how, and why. All I know is we're wearing the City Edition jerseys during those games for some odd reason.
Yeah. So those games is going to be played in November. So they're planning to get them out of the way pretty early, at least the qualifying games. And then it's going to be the top 8 teams out of each group. And then they're going to have 2 wild cards to go to the knockout round. So your group, Kev,
this already sounds stupid. Like
your group has the Bucks, the Knicks, your Heat, the Wizards, and the Hornets.
What kind of stupid ass? What? Okay, one. Who thought of let's make groups instead of I don't know? Let's put them in divisions like they already were in and use those divisions.
They thought just because they're random. They actually drew names into different groups.
It's
and so this
stupid.
Is going to rotate every year.
Oh, my God. This is so dumb. This makes people hurt their heads because people are going to be like, really? Milwaukee, New York, over there, over there, over there. So who was it again? Milwaukee, New York. Already hate New York. So there we go.
Yeah, you got the Bucks, the Knicks, your team, the Heat, the Wizards, and the Hornets.
The Wizards and the Hornets. So they give us the team that most Heat fans already hate because they made that trade. And then they give you the other team that we really hate because they're the Knicks. and then two other teams we could give a shit less about. Instead of, I don't know, putting natural rivals and stuff like that in a group together to make it really interesting. Like, why didn't you go Miami, New York, Milwaukee, Orlando, and some other team that we hate, and the Boston. Put all the teams that we hate all together. Everybody hates all them teams equally, so you just put them in there all together and let them go at it.
So here's Orlando's group. It's the Celtics, the Nets, the Raptors, the Bulls, and the Magic. That's group C for the Magic. Yours group B. And that's your team's going to actually play. Yeah, it's random, but, you know, the Celtics we beat three times. So there's a little chatter between Celtics and Magic fans. The Bulls, because the whole Vucevic trade, so Bulls fans still mad about that. Your team, just because y'all don't like the Knicks. I already know y'all like the Knicks, and then the Bucks and the Heat have this renewed
the Bucks can't beat the Heat. I don't care who the Bucks bring in. The Bucks just can't beat the Heat for some odd reason. It's like when Giannis sees a Heat jersey, he folds. Only one year has he played any good against the Heat. The rest of them, he folds like laundry.
Yeah, which does make it intriguing. I want to see how that, because you're right, because Giannis doesn't play well against the Heat. So
Giannis folds. He only played good against the Heat one year, and that was the year they won the championship. And that's because Bam was coming in with a hurt shoulder.
They got six groups, and they got two wild cards. So the winner of each group, and then the two wild cards that was the best out of those, pretty much best record after the top six,
yeah,
it's going to be the two wild cards. And that's how they're going to move into the knockout round from December 4th to the 9th in Vegas, and then go from there. So,
you know what, like they should have done?
I understand, you know, the skepticism, but I want to see how they play out, man. I'm kind of interested by it just to see how it does. I mean, it has fell faint as face before. Like the dunk contest, that was terrible.
But they should have.
I want to see how it works out.
You know what they should have done with this? This should have been your Christmas slate. This whole tournament thingy should have been your Christmas stuff. Start it before Christmas and then have the games go on like the 24th, you get games, and then Christmas you get the finals and then stuff. This should have been your whole Christmas slate. You should have played two games on Christmas. Like,
hold up.
You should have played those two and then played the finals.
I think you cooking, man. Let me add to this point that I just thinking of. If you do it on Christmas, you got some of the best national televised game that's want to pull this up. So imagine someone that like a lot hot team. Just say, for example, like the Pacers, they get hot. They don't get much TV time. Oh, it's their chance to shine. And it would have been more of an incentive, like, oh snap, like, you know, we get to pull our team on the map in the national televised market. As opposed, like, because one of these games, the Magic are playing at 2 o'clock on Black Friday. It's weird. 2 o'clock. I gotta sell my tickets. I can't even go. But like, if you would did on Christmas, like, Orlando's got one national televised game. They would have been like, hold up, man, this helped our team get exposure. So like, now not only that you have, you know, your players pushing it, but you have your management and your team and your ownership pushing, like, hey, you know, try to win this thing. We gotta get some more exposure.
What they should have done with the whole, if you're wanting to have a tournament, you make it really like a tournament, not where you're playing the games in season and all this stuff. You make it like a tournament. You're like, here, this is the region we're going to play these games in. Like, if it was me, instead of the start of the season like we're having it, I would have done this. Look here, we're going to have this tournament. We're going to have it a regionalized tournament. That way people don't have to go far, and you're playing teams that are in your region. You play here, just like the NCAA tournament. You have a certain amount of teams here. You play each other a certain amount of times. Whoever's got the best record will advance on to the tournament. You play those games. You play some different regular season games in there as well, but you play all these games in this region. And then, boom, you send those guys to a different spot. And then, boom, you play it there. And then you send them down to, where is it, Vegas?
It's in Vegas.
Then you send that tournament, bam. then you got it down in Vegas, and then you do it over the Christmas holiday, where you have 3 or 4 days of basketball over that Christmas holiday. Guess what? If college people can play that many basketball games in that little bit of time, these pro guys can play that many basketball games in that little bit of time.
It's an interest. It's not bad. As I kind of like the concept of it. But I definitely think that with the whole Christmas thing, that was you probably cooking with some of that. That part,
yeah.
I like.
Christmas would have been perfect. Christmas would have been fun. Yeah, you do it. You do it over that. Just do it over. You got a whole week. People celebrate Christmas mostly. Do it over that whole week. Have them in Vegas. They can bring their families to Vegas. They can all chill out in Vegas for Christmas and all that stuff. Most of them are going to be playing ball games on it anyway. There you go.
All right, good stuff. All right, transitioning to the new rule change regarding flopping. So it's a non-unsportsmanlike technical foul, so it doesn't count to your technical fouls to get ejected out of the game. It is one free throw, and then whoever had the possession get the ball. So it just that's how that rule just changed. So, Kev?
Well, thank God, because Chris Paul would foul out.
So what's your thoughts about this whole rule change and at least them trying to – I know for the first time they tried to do something against flopping, they tried fining, but that didn't last too long. What's your thoughts about this new rule change here?
The bad part is the defining what is a flop is all based on the ref's indiscretion. So each ref's going to have a different way that a flop looks to him, and it's not going to be consistently called throughout the year. I think that players will have it in the back of their head what they can and can't get away with, and they're going to push those limits. And like I said, depending on, because you know there's going to be some refs that are going to be stingy with it, and there's going to be some refs that are going to be like, I'll let you get away with some stuff. It's just they have to find the consistency of what they're going to call and what they're going to let them get away with. That's my only concern about it. I'm glad they're trying to fix it. But it's just, it all boils down to how the refs are going to call everything. Because I got a bad feeling that they're going to be calling some stuff that's legit as flops and some stuff that's flop as legits. And it just depends on, you're going to see if really the superstars start getting the calls and some of the other guys don't. It's going to get bad there for a minute before it gets good.
Yeah, it's going to be trial error by size. One thing that I did read with the rule as well, if they did see a flopping, probably like a play after, they can still penalize them for it. So that's interesting. So it's not as in like live game, but if they see something like that result in the flop, like a play that they can let the play go on, and then they will go ahead and let them shoot the free throw.
So basically it's going to be reviewed.
Possibly. Well, I don't think it'd be reviewed, but if they seen the flop and they see that the play is still continuing, they're not going to stop the play. They're going to let the play continue. And then after that, they'll blow the whistle. Hey, we did see a flop there. Even though the backs is good, we're going to call it as a flop. And the team that was the offender is going to shoot the free throw.
So basically, they're going to let it play out like a fumble now.
Yeah, basically.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, so it's not going to stop live play.
That's a little better. What I say they do is just have somebody watching the monitor. And then if they see something, beep them.
Yeah. No, that'd be interesting too. Like, and I wonder, because we see it on defense, but what about offense too? Like, I need some offensive flopping. One opportunity where, and of course, it's the Golden Boy, Austin Reeves. He had a flop that was so egregious that he shot the ball and just kind of flailed like this, and they didn't. And the ref was right there. So is this going to be – are they going to call offensive flopping too? Because I'm hoping they call that as well, because some of these offensive flop is just as bad as some of the one that's on defense. Some of the guys – who was notorious for? Like, Chris Paul hit himself 1 year and put his hands up. Like, I hope they call offensive flopping just as bad. They do defensive flopping as well. That needs to be consistent.
they need to just straighten up the game. Mm-hmm. They need to start letting it be physical again, and they need to start letting these guys play instead of they're coddled. But just like I said when we did that other podcast, they're coddled, man. These players are babied so much that if they had to play a physical brand of basketball, then they'd be screwed. But now maybe we'll get back to a physical brand of basketball because people can just stop falling down and going, ah, acting like you're dead, and then hopping right back up and dunking a basketball. Man, get the heck out of here.
Yeah, nah, some of this stuff is just
the bums. The bums.
Annoying. All right, Kev, who's going to be first-time NBA All-Stars in these conferences?
Let's see. I'm going to go with Tyler Hero. I think Tyler Hero makes a push. I think he's at 24. As long as he stays healthy, and mind you, we're talking just pure health. And over in the Western Conference, that's easy. The dude from Street Fighter, Wimby's making the freaking All-Star team. I can already tell you that crap right now. If he don't get hurt, he's making the All-Star team. He's winning Rookie of the Year. He's winning everything. He's going to be on a big, gigantic Wheaties box that's 8 foot tall. That man's winning everything.
Good picks, man. My picks, I got two. I think Paolo can make a push for it, depending on what the match record is.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If not him, Jalen Brunson should be considered for an All-Star as well. And it helps that he's in the New York market. So he's going to have a lot of chance to get a lot of votes anyways. So he's got a real good chance to make his first
They'll vote for him even if he's hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that market is just – it's going to help people get superstars, what happened. So,
or who made the All-Star game? Who made the All-Star game the 1 year he was hurt the whole first half of the thing and they still voted him in? Like, the fans are idiots. I forgot who it was. But the fans are idiots, and they voted them in. Oh, it was Kawhi Leonard 1 year. He was hurt the whole beginning of the year. Yeah.
You know, yeah, I think it was somebody. I forgot who it was, but it was ridiculous.
It was either Kawhi or Paul George that he just got voted in 1 year. And I'm like, the man hasn't even played, and y'all were voting for him. Y'all are idiots.
They did something where it was like one of the Lakers player was like there, and then that's when they had to change it up based on the way it scaled, because it's like this dude's not really playing, and somehow he's passing some of these other stars like De'Aaron
Anthony Frost Davis
passed over this guy. So
Anthony Davis did it 1 year as well.
Yeah, no. In the West, this guy already should have been All Star. Jamal Murray. It's probably just because of his injuries, but Jamal Murray should have a good chance to be an All Star for the first time. This guy was averaging 25 points and in the route to his finals run. So, and he really had a good showing in the bubble before he went down with that serious knee or ACL injury that he had. So I think Jamal Murray in the West get his first nod as an All-Star. So
do the fans still get the vote?
It's on a way to scale now. So the fans just kind of like warn. So like a fan vote is not a percentage. So it's now more, coaches and the media has a higher way of scale of the votes versus the fans.
If it's fans and media, then Austin Reeves is going to fucking be an All-Star.
Oh man, if he makes All-Star in that West, that talent, I tell you.
I haven't seen a dude so hyped up to be so like mediocre, like as this guy, just because he plays for the Lakers.
It's the Lakers scale. Don't get me wrong. Austin Reeves is a heck of a player, but because he got that purple and gold on, it just get heightened to a sense where other fan base be like, okay, this is annoying.
Who's a better player? Him or Tyler Hero?
I go with Tyler Hero.
Tyler Hero is a better basketball player, but the other guy gets all – the one guy gets hate because he plays for Miami. The other guy gets all the love because he plays for L.A.
I'm telling you, he's a Lakers factor. But I'm not shooting Austin Reeves. He is that good player. It just – they did this with Taylor Horton Tucker, too. He had a Lakers uniform and thought he was this value and she'd get this and make trades for like this. So They did this with Taylor Horton Tucker last year too, but I would say this. No, Austin Reeves is better than Taylor Horton Tucker. Like, that's not the question. But they do this with some of their players that are good, but they put them in this upper echelon like they're supposed to be. And it's like, no, he is a heck of a ball player. Don't get me wrong, but I just think because he got the purple and gold on, they just heighten it up a bit. And it's to other fan bases, it's mad annoying. It is. So you feel why other fan bases be like, oh, man, really? But no,
even all the Team USA stuff. Like, they tried to make him out as the best player on the team. I'm like,
That was ridiculous. I'm like, one, oh my God. Like,
one, it's because he wears LA stuff. Two, it's because he's white. And they want that white guy. I'm like, you already have, they want an American white guy because you already have the white guy in Jokic winning MVPs and championships. You already have that, but they want that American white dude to be that guy.
He's coming out of the year.
Yeah, he's not good.
Cooper Flagg will come out of the year.
He's not that great.
Okay.
Let's give it to Chet.
Okay. Chet's good too, but Cooper Flagg's gonna be nasty, man.
But Chet, I have a good feeling about Chet though. Watching him during the preseason, I have a good feeling about Chet.
There was a big reason I was big on Chet, man. It's on display now. Now I'm happy I got Paulo, but like Chet, I'm telling you,
Chet can ball.
He can ball. Yeah, he can definitely ball.
Chet and Wimby. Wimby has a little bit more of a higher ball handling skill set and everything.
Yeah.
But them two are eerily similar. Like, very eerily similar.
It's gonna be a fun watching.
Watching them play each other was like you picked Dawson on Street Fighter and somebody else did too, but they just had to darken the color on one of them so they could fight each other and you know which one's which. That's what it looked like when they were playing each other.
Good stuff, man. All right, Kev. Let's go through our predictions for the NBA awards. Who's going to be a rookie? You already picked them, but tell them again who's going to be rookie of the year.
Yeah, it's either going to be Wimby or it's going to be Chet. One of them two, because Chet literally can do the Ben Simmons and win it.
Okay, I'm gonna go with Scoot Henderson. He's gonna have enough attempt.
You just want to be different.
Well, I just think he's gonna have enough like volume to shoot the ball. Like, I think Wimby and Chet has a little bit more talent around him, so I feel like Scoot's gonna have the green light just to get the shoot and born. But I tell you what, that rookie class is nasty, man. Like, there's no wrong choice here. You can go Chet, you can go Wimby,
and throwing Chet in with it, it's kind of crazy. You can just throw him in with these guys.
Yeah. So. Sis man of the year. Who's your sis man of the year?
Damn, I don't even know who's going to be coming off benches everywhere. I don't really know. Get back to me later. You pick it, and then I'll just agree with you. How's that?
All right. Well, this guy just signed a bargain contract yesterday, which I thought was crazy for the amount that he was had. But 3 years, $39 million for Cole Anthony is a steal.
When I saw it, I was like, one, thank God they re-signed him because they should have already, and it shouldn't have even been an argument.
Yeah.
And two, I'm like, that's it. I was like, we paid fucking Duncan Robinson $90 million. They paid him $39 million. There's something way wrong with this.
Yeah. And he had, and at the end of last year, he had a good second half of the season closing. I know he was shooting like 39% from 3-point land around that range. He had about 16 points. So, like, and now that the bench unit's his, he's got a bench unit with Jonathan Isaac who can help him on the backside as long as he stay healthy. Knock on wood.
Yeah, now you knock on everything. Knock on his goofy shoes. Do not break his foot or something like that.
Exactly. You got two veterans in Joe Ingles and Gary Harris that can help him out. And then Mo Wagner is also one that can spread the floor from the three-point line. So, like, he's got a really good bench core around him that can spread the floor for him, and he's the guy in that unit. So, he knows the guy, he can take off.
But Cole's also going to be playing a lot with the starters, too. Because I have a feeling that one of them guys is going to get hurt like they usually do. And he's going to have to be the one to step up.
So let me give you some other man candidates, Kevin, so that I can kind of help you out.
But I like Cole. But you know me, I always like Cole Anthony. So.
Yeah, so, I mean, you got Emmanuel Quickley, Bobby Portis, Malcolm Brogdon is coming out the bench in Portland.
Well, you know I'm not giving it to Portis. He can kiss my ass.
not a big on Portis guy. All right, so I'll just come back to Dax. There's a few that's on here that's still gonna be marinating. But what?
No, about I like Cole Anthony pick. I like the Cole. Yeah, okay. I like that one.
All right, most improved player. And I'm going to give you some names, and you just tell me what you think.
They're going to give it to Austin Reeves.
It's funny you mentioned that. He's on the list. So it's Kate Cunningham.
That's who they're going to give it to.
So check it out. Kate Cunningham, Anthony Simons, Austin Reeves, Jordan Poole, Scottie Barnes, Franz Wagner, Alperen Sengun, and Shaedon Sharpe. Is on the odds for most improved player.
They're going to give it to Austin Reeves if he even shows a 2-point difference from last year to this year, just because they have PP envy. So they're going to give it to him no matter what. I wouldn't, but that's what's going to happen. If he's slightly better than he was last year, they're going to say, look how much improved he was. That's my pick, but I wouldn't give it to him.
Mine's is going to be Kay Cunningham. I think he's going to have a fantastic year in Detroit. He's got a really good coach to learn from in Monty Williams. He's got a really good chance to get most improved player of the year. A few other names that we just mentioned. I know Franz had a great showing in the tournament, and he had a great start to the preseason. So he probably someone to monitor that can probably win most improved player of the year. I do like.
Yeah, I don't think Franz is going to improve. I think Franz is just going to stay the same that what he's been doing. Like, he doesn't have to improve. He's already been good. Like it's because, again, it's because he plays where he plays. Nobody knows. And I'm like, well, you think he's going to get better? This is the same crap he's been doing for the past years. I'm like do you watch? don't worry. Like I said, Orlando, Jacksonville, same thing. I've been saying it for you. Yeah.
Al Sengun's another good pick, too, for the Rockets. I was big on him in the draft.
You just like saying Sengun.
Well, you know, I like to toot my own horn, man. This is the guy whenever you see the popular magic, when I was at the draft and I sat down, we drafted Franz Wagner. I wanted Al Sengun. That's who I wanted. Sengun.
See, I'm you still, keep saying it.
I'm still like having low. Hey, don't get it twisted. NBA, Magic, basketball fans, I'm so glad Orlando drafted Franz Wagner. It's not even funny.
Here's the thing.
It's okay. I'm totally okay now. But I think Al Sengun's going to have a hell of a good season for sure.
Here's the thing, Orlando and NBA fans. Whoever Cortez is mad about the Magic drafting turns out to be good. He was mad about Franz. He was mad about Pablo. And there you go.
The last few players I won, too, they're actually not bad either. But listen, totally happy with Franz and Pablo. Don't get it twisted. But I think Al Sengun's got a real good chance. Of course, we just talked about Austin Reeves. The media is going to help him. But once again, he is a good player. But the media is going to help him
get
exposure. So, it is what it is.
PP's in mouth.
All right. Some of your odds for defense player of the year. You got one off the rip before I start naming some off?
Bam. It's time.
Bama's on there. You got Jaren Jackson, Evan Mobley, Anthony Davis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Bam Adebayo, and Victor Wembanyama's on this list as well, too.
It's Bam time.
I picked Giannis.
Giannis. Well, of course. Yeah.
But Bam's up there. No. Bam is so versatile on that defensive end, and he's going to be a catalyst for the Miami defense that there's a reason Vegas eyes got him top four for a candidate for defensive player of the year.
It's his time. Like, you give him out, it's his time. Like, legit, nobody has been that played that well where he guards every single person on the floor as he has done. And he's been the most consistent guy on the defensive end of the floor over the past 3 years in the league.
Yeah.
And he's improving on the offensive end, but his defense has stayed continuously the same. Like, it's just it's time to give him one. It just is.
Definitely, man. Hey, viable candidate for sure. No disagreements from me. And he has been fantastic on defense end, so he definitely should be in consideration for sure.
Wimby going to lead the freaking leading shot blocks.
He's probably going to lead him in stops. You know how they do the stops? They do the steals and the blocks together?
Yeah.
He'll be up there in the top category. Jonathan Isaac is actually in that category.
Wimby can block a guy shooting a three-pointer standing up.
Did you see that Klay Thompson block?
Yes. I seen all of them. I seen the people that are playing them the first game of the Mavs. They're practicing, and they've got a guy that's holding like this big, gigantic arm and is holding it up like so they can shoot over it. I'm like, that's insane. It's nuts that a guy like we've seen Manute Bol, and like Manute was awkward. This guy's not awkward. Like, this guy is smooth with everything, single thing he does. It's like when he grew into his body, he didn't get the clumsy mechanism. He got everything to where it makes him flow. And everything he does is smooth. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
No, like, he is a cheapo for real.
Like, the hype that everybody put on him, that shit is real. Like, yeah. The hype that this guy got, that shit is real. The hype that LeBron got when he came out was he's physical and he could do all this stuff. That shit was real. But this shit's in a whole different category. Like, never have you seen a guy that looked like he should be awkward just destroy people, nutmegging people at 7'8". Like, you ain't supposed to do that. No. Come on, man. That ain't right.
No. All right. Who's your coach of the year?
It's time for Eric Spoelstra to win Coach of the Year. Like,
he hasn't won Coach of the Year?
No, he didn't even win it when they had the Big Three, because they had the Big Three. It's time.
Should have won Coach of the Year.
Okay. I don't think he won it the year they got the number one seed. I don't think he's ever won Coach of the Year. I'm pretty certain that he has never won Coach of the Year.
I'm shocked, because he definitely should have won Coach of the Year. I mean, I'm just saying if he didn't, but he should have. If they missed that, that's crazy. He hadn't won Coach of the Year. I thought he had, but maybe you're right. That's crazy.
I still think he should win it because of the last 4 years alone. Like, there ain't nobody done what he's done over the last 4 years.
Listen, what y'all bring in, and y'all got some of these other players, big paydays and whatnot. So, like, it's a testament to what he does, man. I mean,
he does it with whoever. He does it with whoever. He's done it with more undrafted players than anybody. Like, he just does it.
I mean, y'all even got R.J. Hampton looking good. Like, what? Like, even R.J. Hampton had a good preseason. So, like, no, it's – I'm shocked. I thought he had one more.
I know. My I have to look it up. See, I can't look it up because I got this thingy on, so I can't look it up. But I'm pretty sure he's never won. He might have won one.
He might have been a runner-up, possibly.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if he's won one. I'm not sure if he won one during the Big Three era, but I'm like, he needs one.
Yeah. Kev, you round the money. Eric Spoelstra never won Coach of the Year, but he consistently outmaneuvers his moves in the playoffs. That was an article on him in June. So,
yep. Wow. Told you. So, it's time. Again, give Bam his defensive of the year, and it's time to give Eric. You should give it to him just for honorary purposes' sake.
Gotcha. My candidate who I'm going to go with is Mark Degano, the coach in OKC. He's got a lot of talent for them to see if they make the jump like they're supposed to. Definitely a lot of teams suspecting them to jump into like the top six. He's got a real chance to win it for sure. And that's what they do, Ked. They sit there and see the prospect, what you've done for me lately, as opposed to Eric Spoelstra been consistently. But I do feel like that Mark Degano has a really good chance to win it. He's running a good program down there with all them players that they have. I guess all them draft picks kind of come to fruition for OKC, which is a good thing. They still got assets they can trade, a bunch of them. So, but and also, if Indiana make the jump too, which I think they will too, I think Rick Carlisle might be considered Coach of the Year as well.
Yeah, that's a good one. Indiana's one of them sneaky teams. They just stay under the radar.
Yeah, they're going to be really, really good. All right, and last one, who's going to be MVP of the league during the season?
Man, I'm going to sound like a broken record, but he deserves it. Jimmy Butler. If he stays healthy and does it for a whole season, that man deserves it. Because without him, they're shit.
He does mean a lot to definitely the Heat team, and you see where they go with him. I'm also going with the first time in Jason Tatum, especially they build around him and see how they look like. They got some interesting pieces around him now with Porzingis and Drew Holiday. Married them where they're arguably probably the top two, one of the top two teams in the East. And it's definitely probably his time too to get one as well. And Jason is still very young, so
just keep it in Jalen's right hand.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, make sure you don't go left. So, and that's what we got for our MVP talk. All right, so our last segment of the show, there's not really no particular order.
Don't they have a comeback player of the year?
I don't think it's really a award that they award for. I know they just kind of like a recognition, but I don't think it's like an actual award for it.
If they do, it's going to be Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons is – he's looking good in the preseason, isn't he?
I'm telling you, man. Ben is going to be somebody's trade deadline candy. I'm telling you. He's going to be – somebody's going to be licking their chops to get a hold of him. Because he's going – if he gets back to even 85% of what he was on the defensive end of the ball, somebody's going to be licking their chops.
Yeah. It's a fun core to put with him and the Nets core they got up there. They got Bridges up there as well, Cam Johnson. So it's a fun team to be monitoring with Ben Simmons. If he does come back, like you said, 85% what he is. Comeback player, definitely looking at him, Ben Simmons or Markel Fultz. See how he bounced back. I know there's been a lot of discussion, maybe MIP. I don't think he's there yet. I think Franz got a better chance winning the most improved player over him. But nah. And then also, just for committee relief, is any one of the Clipper stars. You comeback player. I'm sorry, George. Clipper fan. Don't have Quiet, me. Listen, exactly. Listen, as a matter, I dealt with injuries, so I can make jokes. Hey, well, I can't really make it, but I can. Yeah.
If they can just stay healthy, they're going. Going to be there if they can stay healthy. Just please stay healthy for my pick, just once. That way I can make the guy that was mad because I picked the Clippers instead of the Lakers.
Oh, Cam Show. No, listen, Clippers, yeah. They just got to stay healthy, man. They got a nice squad even. Terrence Mann is coming along. One of the Morris twins come off the bench for them. And
it's dirty, man.
Got kind of be reinvented. Like, he went away from the Lakers and went to the Clippers and looked kind of solid in the role that he's playing. They just got Kevin. You're right. They just got to stay healthy, man. They just can stay healthy.
If George and Kawhi can play 50 games and get into the playoffs and stay healthy in the playoffs, they're going to be dirty. They can beat anybody they want to.
All right. Yes, sir. All right. Here's the fun part here, and there's no particular order. You can just pick eight teams out the West. And this one I really struggle with. It's hard, man. Like, but you go ahead and go first. Who you got coming out the West? Just the eight teams. I'm not even picking play-in teams. I just want to say these are the top eight teams that will be ranked. I'm not disqualifying. Like, anybody playing is still not one of these teams out. This is just who I think the top eight teams will be.
Okay. L.A., Golden State, of course. Let's see. L.A., Golden State. Of course, Denver. Dallas. Let's see. I'm trying to think of everybody over there. You can't just throw me under a bus. I keep forgetting who's all over there. Oh, Sacramento. Damn, who else do I want to put in there? I'm going to throw San Antonio in there. How many did I get?
That's about eight.
There you go. That sounds good. Throwing San Antonio in there that's one of them fun things, because I just think they're going to be fun team to watch.
Okay. Here's mine. And it was very hard to pick eight. And it's not counting other teams out. I think they'll be in play, and I can take these other two teams out. So my eight are the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Suns. I think you forgot the Suns.
That's who I forgot. Yeah, that's definitely who I forgot.
The Suns, the Kings, the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, and the Thunder. I did not pick the Golden State Warriors in the top eight. I do think they will struggle. I do think there's a lot of noise over there, starting with Klay Thompson contract. I still think they'd be in the play-in round, but I think they will struggle. This West is loaded. I mean, this is going to be a gauntlet every year. I can't.
It's a different type of loaded. Like, it's not that loaded up with the stars and everything like everybody always says the East is. It's just loaded with young, deep talent. Like, they're over there, they're young and deep everywhere. A lot of those good teams over there are just young, deep, and they're going to run.
Like the Timberwolves, they got Anthony Edwards, who is a budding superstar.
Yes.
I'm not picking them out of the playoffs. And he gave the Nuggets a run for their money in a few of those games. I know they only got one, but three of those games were close. If he had a little bit of help with just Carmelo Towns a little bit, that could have been a different. They got the size in the playoffs that can slow things down. Grizz, I know, wants to get Ja back. They got Jaren Jackson Jr. Steven Adams went down with injury, so they got to make some. That's the one I might be on the fence about, where if I did was to replace the Warriors with somebody, it would be them.
Yeah, because
Murray get them over the hump.
It's how do they maneuver through everything without Ja? That's going to be, because we saw last year without Ja, it was like, okay, y'all are just Memphis without Ja. With Ja, y'all are the Grizzlies. Without Ja, you're just Memphis.
The Thunder just have so much young talent. Even if they deal with like a couple of injuries, they still can plug in some guys that can play.
We're going to be saying the Thunder has a bunch of young talent for the next 7 years.
This is true. So
because they're going to keep drafting so people.
Loaded, man. The West is so loaded that I even in the Mountains group, the Nuggets might even take a step back. They might have a championship hunger. They might be in the top four if it's still successful, but they're going to navigate through the storm. I think it's going to be the Suns or the Lakers. That's going to be at the top of the conference.
With the majority of these teams, especially these older ones, it's going to be just work your way through the season and make it into the playoffs, which it which it most likely is all year. Don't worry about the in-season tournament. Don't worry about all this stuff. Make sure that you can manage your team the correct way under the new rules that have came up. But that's the thing with these older teams. You just have to maneuver your way through the season and get into the playoffs. I almost said get into the tournament, but now that there's a mid-season tournament, it confuses everybody. So now I'm just saying just maneuver it into the playoffs.
Playoffs. Gotcha. Fun stuff. That West was a doozy. East is not that much better either. East is a little bit easier, but it's not. But it still was difficult for me. Who you got in the East, Kev?
There's no particular order. East, of course, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, Miami, Orlando, because I told the other people they were going to make it, so I'm throwing them in there. Who else? God damn, you're gonna make me say them. yeah, fuck the Knicks.
Get the Knicks. Yeah,
fuck them. Yeah, fuck them. I actually think Brooklyn will make a good run at it. But yeah, there's a bunch of teams over in the East that. Oh, Indiana, definitely Indiana.
Yep. Here's my teams. No particular order. I got the Bucks, Celtics, 76ers, Cavs, Knicks, Heat, Pacers, and the Magic. Now, leaving out of that group, you got Toronto, who still got Siakam. This is the town group that can be on the outside end. The Nets, I think they take a step back a little bit. It depends. But they'd be in the play-in for sure. I think with the Magic and the Pacers, they'll all be in the play-in. So this is not me just taking a stab at them. I think those are play-in teams for sure that'll be in that group. The other six will probably be in the top five or six, whatnot, for just being the playoffs. Once again, man, like, I think the Pacers is going to be really, really good, man. Like Tyrese Halliburton, Jairus Walker, the guy who I was glamoring for, that's Kevin Hinton, like, hey, that's the guy I really wanted. I'm okay with Anthony Black. It's going to take him some time. We got to bench that, but it's okay.
You were just mad they didn't draft Black and Dick.
Yep, because it could have been Black sus Dick, you know. I'm just okay, I'll stop.
Oh my god.
Guys, I was just saying the names of players, the actual phrase. So
hey, don't let him fool y'all. He was saying the phrase. After his Denver outbreak on that one show, Cortez has been a different person. So,
oh my god. So listen, the Bucks, Celtics, 76ers, me are the top three. And then you got the Cavs, Knicks, and the Heat within that mixture of probably the mid tier. And then you got the rest of the team that's gonna be playing off for the play in. The Bulls also can take a step up too. I just need to figure out what they're doing with the whole Zach LaVine thing. Is he going to get traded at deadline or what's up with that? East is Kev, I'm saying again, I said this last year, I'm saying it again, there will not be a 60-win team this upcoming season. It won't be a 60-win team. There's so much talent around here. There's going to be games that you play teams that you think you should beat and you won't beat them.
Of course.
It's going to happen. And it's going to throw you for a loop because it's just so much talent here.
And my thing is with all the people that are moving around, how are they going to fit? That's my biggest thing, because you had so many ball dominant guys getting moved from the teams where they were able to be ball dominant to a team to where they have three guys on there that are ball dominant. Mm-hmm. Like you have guys on there that need the ball that we all know you need the ball to score. But you have a scorer going to a team that already has two of them. So, how are you going to convince these guys to have their roles? That was the biggest thing about Miami when they brought in when they had the big three. It was convincing the guys that they have to have a role. And it wasn't until the second year that everybody knew what their role was. Because if we remember right, the first year, everybody was still playing their own game. Mm-hmm. And it was like they would take turns. And no one would be like, okay, this is my role. This is what we're going to do. And we saw it firsthand with them. So, and you see it on and on with these guys that try to bring all these people together. That's why teams like Denver win. And that's why Milwaukee won when they went up against teams. It's because in Golden State, that's why Golden State was so successful, because you had everybody that knew what their role was. Everybody played their key role. Milwaukee has to figure out what they're going to do with Middleton, Giannis, and Damian to make them get into their roles, to make them figure out what exactly is my role going to be on this team and where do I fit in. And that's going to be the key thing to how quickly that a lot of these teams figure that out. Same with Phoenix. Same with other teams that are adding in the star. Denver's already got it figured out. Denver knows their roles. Everybody has their role in Denver already. Phoenix, you got to figure out your role. The Lakers, they know their roles. They just can't keep nobody healthy enough to decipher them out. Yeah. And the Clippers, same thing. They've got to get healthy enough. And then they got to figure out their roles if they can keep everybody healthy.
There's so much talent in NBA. I mean, I know we even mentioned the even the Rockets got Ime, who's a great coach. They have the Pistons, who's got a great coach in Monty Williams. Like the Wizards, even they got Jordan Poole, who can probably be in that run for most players because he's gonna have a chance to get buckets. Like, at least for the first couple of months, I think we're gonna see some really competitive basketball. I don't think we have anybody come out here's gonna be tanking right away.
Nope.
But I'm super excited, man. I'm gonna see how it is. I think there's so much talent in NBA that has been over the past few years that it's gonna be destined for a fun year. So, and how ironic, and I'm gonna throw this out, Kevin. This make you feel good. How ironic that we think we're gonna have a competitive year in the year of 2023, the year of Jordan.
Exactly. 23, 24, 20. Oh, the year of Jordan and Kobe.
Yeah, Kobe.
23, 24.
Absolutely, man.
This is the Jordan Kobe. These are the Jordan Kobe years. 23 and 24.
Play that young but man, LeBron song when I go to the gym in a few minutes.
But yeah, it's definitely going to be one of those things to where the teams that can one nowadays, it's like a broken record, stay healthy and can develop that chemistry. That's why people are like, well, Miami's 8 seed. And they did it because they have chemistry, because they have, Miami has the it factor when it comes times for it to have them to have to go. And they just go when it's that time. And it's weird how they do it. Don't ask me how they do it, but they do it. So it's who's going to be that team that has that go factor, and it's that time when it comes time to go for it. It's just stay healthy, get healthy at the right time, and then bang, go.
That's it. Well, hey, man, cheers to a upcoming basketball season. Should be fun. This is always a fun month. October, football, basketball, you got college football in full effect. Baseball is winding down with the World Series. You saw the Texans events. They're waiting on, are they playing Philly, the Phillies, right? I think Philly.
No, Philly and Arizona got game seven tonight. Yeah, they got game seven tonight, I think. Yep.
Okay, so it's a sign tonight. Okay, so that's going to be a sign tonight. So,
look, I want Arizona and Texas to be in it just because I can't stand Philly. So anything Philly, I'm getting there. I'm getting in the Knicks range with them because I'm just sick of hearing about Philadelphia stuff. So
hey man, nah, for sure. Yeah,
I'm getting into that area with them.
There you go. Anything you like to add, sir, before we close this bad boy?
No. And if y'all are going to listen to the show tonight, you know, my team's 5-2.
Give him a shout for sure. We know. Hey,
listen, you know, your boy is a... you know, my team's 5-2. Plus, we got something that's coming up this weekend that we kind of always talk about. So it'd kind of feel a little weird if I didn't come on and at least talk a little football tonight. So I may show up for a little bit of the show tonight because we know what this weekend is, right? It's that Florida-Georgia game.
Absolutely. Hey, if we can't get you on, I'm going to have you record audio segment. I'll put it on the show.
Oh, no, I'll be there because I ain't got to work all day today. I'm off.
Okay, cool. Well, we might.
Yeah, so whenever. Exactly. So I'll come back home later and I'll spend a little time with you guys talking about my 5-2. Yeah, you heard me right. 5-2.
Hey.
Yeah.
Little double dip. Nothing wrong with that. Cool, man. Well, let's close this bad boy and then we'll be back at it again tonight. So
yeah, you get to see me again.
That's right. So make sure you stay tuned for me and Paul and Kevin, who's going to be back tonight. And then
it's only appropriate. Football. We always, there's two things that we always discuss, like thoroughly. We always open the basketball season with a show, and we always talked about Florida, Georgia. Of course, I've got to come on, if anything, just to come and talk about Florida, Georgia. Usually it was only Florida, Georgia because the Jaguars sucked. But now they don't suck. So now I get to talk about them too.
All right, man. Sounds good. Let's do it. All right. You can follow the podcast at BIOC Podcast. You can follow me at End of Mind of CP.
Mine you can't see anymore because they just yanked me right out of the bottom. Like I didn't even exist anymore, but I am definitely not at the Paul Mac. It's Kevin C 2415. If y'all want to follow me,
definitely. Balls My Court Podcast. You on Spotify at anchor.fm/Cortez-Paul. Facebook. You see Balls My Court Podcast right there. You subscribe on YouTube. BIOC Podcast. If you like this. Also, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/BOC podcast to donate any money that you make proceeds to the podcast. We appreciate it. We're also on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spreakers, Windows, Anchor, Spotify. And as Kevin said, we haven't heard in a while.
Wherever you want to listen to us before, just listen to us there now.
Awesome. Well, speaking for Kevin Carter.
You got me to say it again.
There it is. Speaking for Kevin Carter, this is Cortez Paul Balls My Court Podcast. We will see you later on tonight to discuss football.
Come back like Jordan wearing the 4-5.